broadcasting live from the Encita Business Radio X studio in North Carolina, it's time for NC Tech Talk, where tech leaders come to tell their stories.
Welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Mark Montoro, Senior Director of Programs for the North Carolina Technology Association, or NCTA, as we're affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you that are unfamiliar with our organization, we're a not-for-profit, membership-driven trade association and the primary voice of the tech sector in North Carolina. We support economic growth through three major initiatives: executive engagement, which is our term for events; public affairs, where we lobby in front of state and federal government on behalf of the tech sector; and knowledge workforce, which is workforce development, and where we help companies find the talent they're looking for and job seekers find the best company for their skill set. If you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we also have a company page on LinkedIn. We are also streaming updates and comments on future shows at hashtag NCTechTalk. So this month's show is a little bit different because we'll be discussing both our guests' companies, but also a unique community activity that we had that they were involved with. So joining me today, two guests who both recently participated in the Come Tech Out, the Triangle Job Fair that was hosted by us at the McKimmon Center on October 8th. First, we have Warren Allen, the marketing director for Grover Gaming.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to have you. And Warren, and also joining us today is Phil Buckley. He's the director of engagement at Precision Lender.
That's right. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. So today we're going to talk a little bit about both of the companies, but also their culture, what makes them different. And then we're going to also talk a little bit about their perspective on the talent pool. That's really why they were involved with our job fair and how that jives with their organization's needs. So first, Warren, tell us a little bit about Grover Gaming and the company and what makes you unique.
Right. So Grover Gaming is a software and game development company located in Greenville, North Carolina. At face value, we are a gaming company, but we do a lot of software backend systems behind it too. So, you know, that's what makes us unique is that we have that game atmosphere, that startup feel. But really, we're working on advanced systems, you know, at the same caliber as like a financial institution and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. You brought up an interesting point, and I promised you I wasn't going to throw you a curveball, and the first thing I'm going to go is off script. But
all right, sounds good.
You talk a little bit about that. So how does that segment between your two service offerings, as you're talking about gaming versus some software development, right. How much of your customers use you for one versus the other, and how does that make up?
Usually we're a combo package. So, we may make games or license them, like game licensing is a thing that we do. So you might see a social casino, top grossing app, their game you're playing might actually be made by us. Okay. But in our more lottery regulated markets, charitable gaming, usually that the games are delivered either through our back-end systems or built or played on our platforms, like a slot machine or whatever market it may be.
Oh, very cool. So sounds like there's been a lot of expansion and growth with your organization. You're in Greenville
now. Sir.
Tell us a little bit about that, your expectations for more growth, or is that where you're going to stay?
Oh, yeah. We've actually already built a couple new buildings, and we're about to move in some desks.
Oh, wow.
But we just added another 6,500-square-foot building onto our existing 12,000 square feet that has a pool table, two kitchens, a cafe, a full gym, squat racks, treadmills, heavy bags, speed bags, lounge with couches, gaming equipment, anything you could think of. So it's a really cool place to work. We built it planning on it having the number of people that we had when it was built. So we already outgrew it by the time it was finished.
That's great.
So
what do you got? What's your headcount out right now?
We're a little over 50. Mm-hmm. Most of that's in programming and development. Everything's done in-house. That's what's unique. A lot of software companies or QA might be in, India or somewhere else, and we do everything. If you have a question, you just stand up over your desk and say, hey, what's going on? You can, the artists are in-house. We have full-time in-house sound engineers, math guys, programmers, back-end guys, quality assurance, customer service, anything you want, just walk down the hall.
That's neat that you've got that one-stop shop for everything that's within your organization. What are your growth goals? How many people are you trying to hire?
As many as we can, to be honest. Yeah, our backlog on work that we could work on is pretty substantial at this point. As long as we have projects we're taking on right now, and we need people for them. It's real innovative stuff. you know, the industry we're in, a lot of it's kind of existed in the way it has for 20 plus years. And what we did, you know, a couple years ago was come into it with new innovative technology, new innovative games using real-time 3D graphics. And it's completely blown away some of our old competition. Yeah. And it's allowed us young guys to come in and make a difference in industry, really re-innovate it.
So is that a different skill set? What exactly are you looking for when you're really kind of hiring out for your whole team?
Hiring out for the whole team? Oh, we're looking for drive and passion.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to have a master's degree or a PhD to come work at Grover by any means. A lot of our staff has come out of the local area. Might have showed up one day and has been programming in his, you know, in his at his house in his room and has been able to come on and be great people.
So more of a culture fit than necessarily.
Yeah, culture fit. We're looking for people that are real smart, can come on. You know, you might be programming a different language, but you know, if you're a brilliant guy, you can come on and pick up what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking for.
So when you're across the table from an interviewee and you're trying to describe that company culture, mm-hmm. you know, what is it like to work at Grover Gaming? Why should you work at Grover Gaming? What do you tell them?
Oh, yeah. Well, what people are kind of looking for right now is they've, you know, worked at big banks or worked somewhere else and it's real, like, you know, strict and whatnot. And what they're looking for is a startup feel. But they don't really want the risk of a startup, you know. Everyone wants to come in and have a 401k, and that's what we offer. I mean, you can wear your Batman t-shirt to work, show up maybe 10 minutes late, 10, 15, kind of roll in, get you coffee at the Grover Cafe, but you're going to have a real desk, a 401k, health insurance, and we're financially stable. So you come into work and have that security, but also get to do what you want, you know.
My t-shirt's Green Lantern, but
yeah.
Well, so Greenville's an interesting market. I mean, it's one of those that's smaller, at least as far as our membership is concerned. Uh-huh. But there's always been a lot of outreach there. So tell us a little bit about what you've seen in the market there as far as talent, why you even put your company there, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a unique perspective. I grew up in Greenville, so can give you a good answer about that. Mm-hmm. Greenville's a great town to live in, especially for some of these guys that have been living in Raleigh their whole life. First of all, your cost of living is, you know, more than half. Your beers in Greenville are $2. You're not paying $7 to $8. So, you know, it's actually about a quarter. But yeah, your housing market, you know, for a house, you can get a 2,000 square foot house in Greenville for what you're paying for a 1,000 square foot apartment in Raleigh.
Wow.
And I mean, that's a known fact. You come down there and look at the prices. Also, we're about an hour and a half of Raleigh. So if you want to make a weekend trip to, you know, go to the beer garden or whatever it happens to be, you just ride down on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also about an hour from the beach. So if you want to ride to the beach, that's about an hour. We're in a great spot.
Yeah.
And it's a growing community. There's all kinds of restaurants popping up. Mm-hmm. We have some cool craft brew places that have also popped up recently. So it's a good scene.
What's your opinion of the talent market there? I mean, as far as experienced talent, obviously there's the universities there, but mm-hmm. you know, how are you as far as finding the people there versus trying to attract them away from Raleigh, like we're talking about?
Okay. Yeah. That's a good question. There's not a lot of software companies in Greenville, to be honest. Mm-hmm. There are a few. So, you know, a lot of the guys, once they found out about us, of course, jumped ship and joined us. You know, you're good guys, but, we've created a good relationship with the university, and we've been able to pull some of, you know, have internships or come in and learn from that. Outside of that, a lot of our staff has actually come from outside of North Carolina. We've been having to bring guys from, you know, we have guys from maybe slot manufacturers in Las Vegas or from any kind of company, banks, financial institutions, airline, anything you can think of. We have guys that probably have it on their resume. Mm. Some really top tier talent, guys out of Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, wherever, you name it, they're there.
That's great. So if people want to get a job at Grover or just learn more about your organization, mm-hmm. what do they got to do?
Oh, yeah. Visit GroverGaming.com. You can email us info@GroverGaming.com, jobs@GroverGaming.com. Just reach out to us. We really take that personal, you know, when someone reaches out to us to get them any kind of questions answered at a very high level. So
that's great. Most of your jobs are on the website, or how do you typically advertise those? Or
yeah, there's jobs on the website. We also, you know, we have listings on Monster and Indeed, like anything else.
Great. Well, Warren, thanks. We really appreciate you joining us today. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Phil Buckley. So thanks for joining us on NC Tech Talk.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome back to NC Tech Talk, where today we were talking about talent and some of the companies and how company culture can attract that talent to them. Again, if you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. We're also streaming updates and comments on this and future shows on Twitter at our hashtag at #NCTechTalk. So we're transitioning to our next guest. Phil Buckley is the Director of Engagement at PrecisionLender. Phil, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
So let's talk a little bit about PrecisionLender and what you guys do.
Well, we are a cloud-based SaaS platform. We sell to banks, to their commercial lenders, to really help them win more deals, build stronger relationships, and really win the deals that they're already winning, win those better as well.
Mm-hmm. So is there a specific industry that you guys are focused on here as far as who your customer base is?
Yeah, our customer base is banks, U.S. banks. And a lot of times people will ask us, how about credit unions or other people? And we do have some that aren't banks. But for us, there's 5,500 banks in the country. That's more than enough to keep us busy moving forward.
So a lot of good growth in the future then?
Yes, absolutely. Right now we have about 200 customers. Mm-hmm. So that means we got 5,300 more dead ahead.
Yeah. So we talked with Warren mostly just about being able to fuel that talent that you need and find that people. So tell us a little bit about what it's like to work at PrecisionLender.
PrecisionLender for me was exactly the right company for me at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. Been working, started my life as a software developer and then moved over to marketing. So when I came in, they were looking for, people will talk about a full stack developer having a certain set of skills. We were looking kind of for a full stack marketer. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a perfect fit. And when I came in, there was two things that stood out to me when I was talking to them. One, I was talking to Carl, who's one of the founders and the CEO, and he said, we're pushing live from development to production about 5 or 10 times a week. So my developer background said, that's a software company that gets it, right? Not waiting for release 7.1, but just always making the product better. And the other part was, they had on the wall their kind of core values and exactly what they believe in, but not in the kind of way where you see a mission statement someplace that doesn't mean anything to anybody and no one's paying attention. This is the kind of values that they point at during discussions. So we'll be talking to someone and we'll say, since we're open and direct, blah, 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 right? Or since we're always trying to give wow customer service, we should do X. And that was totally something new for me, was a company that had these core values and lived them every day.
So you talked a little bit about some of those core values. Tell us a little bit about those, where they came from, and then how it impacts your company in general or how your people work together.
The story of where they came from is a great story and one I love telling. So when the founders originally started it, you start a software company, you hire salespeople. The problem with hiring salespeople for banks is banks are usually buying something that wore out when they call a salesman that calls on a bank. And what we're trying to sell to them is something they've never even thought of before. So it was kind of not a great fit right from the beginning. But also, salespeople are driven by something different usually than the core values of a company. They're driven by, I need to make money on commission. So over a year or so that we had the sales force in place, they noticed that it wasn't really gelling with those core values. And when we finally decided to disband the sales team, it was really gnawing at one of the other co-founders, Ken Garcia. And Ken and Carl and a couple others had gone up to Business of Software, which is a great conference up in Boston for companies that are in the business of software. And they heard a talk by Mikey Trafton, who had built a company, and he felt like the culture was getting away from him. So he decided he was going to write down things that he would fire people for on the spot and then just flip those to kind of find the things that were important to him. So Ken at one point kind of did the same thing. And what he found out is a lot of the things that were driving him crazy from the sales group, when he flipped those over, that's kind of what became our core values. So be humble, respect everybody, always, you know, have a bias towards action, be passionate about your job. All those things that are now in our core values came from a lot of really a year-long introspection of what's most important to the founders for this company that they were building.
It's interesting that you talk about the flip of kind of taking what you hate the most and then make it into something you like the most. I mean, does that change the profile of the person that you're trying to hire or how you go about finding them?
Absolutely. When people come in, like everybody else, we ask, put in your resume and answer a couple of questions online, and we look at those. And the first thing we look at is culture. And you can tell the difference between somebody sometimes just by the language they use, the amount of effort they put into that application. So one of the examples I try to give to people is there's a difference between somebody who says, I led a team that made an extra $1 million last year, or I was responsible for a team that earned an additional $1 million last year. It's one word that has changed, right, from in charge to was responsible. But it tells you a lot about how that person feels they fit into the bigger ecosystem. So we can start looking at what kind of culture we think they would fit into. Do they appear humble or are they kind of braggarts? Do they put the team first? All the things that we want in our team, we try to find out in there, the way they answer their questions and the way they talk about themselves on their resume.
Mental note to go back and rewrite mine. So that's very interesting. I mean, obviously, both you and Warren were talking about culture and more the intangibles versus the tangibles. But there's got to be some skill sets that are specific to your company's role or the software you're developing. Is there? And tell us a little bit about that.
There is. The base skill set we're looking for is smart people. And I think all the smart companies are doing that now. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, if you bring somebody in who's smart, they're going to be able to learn a skill. But if you bring in someone who's a jerk, it's very hard to break that. And what happens with company culture is it doesn't take long for one person to break it down. Because what happens is your absolute A players, they don't want to be around that person. So they start leaving. And what happens is your worst players start to define your culture. So as long as we can bring in basically A players who are brilliant and dedicated, if they have the right culture, everything's going to stay on path.
So an earlier question that I kind of glossed over earlier was just about what happens when that company culture doesn't fit. But kind of what you're saying is if you're seeing those A players or the lack of maybe a leadership thing, is there something did you ever have to right that ship or anything in particular that you look to do to say, we want to make sure that doesn't happen?
So it happens a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm going to answer a slightly bigger question than you just asked. One is what happens when somebody does find their way through, right? We're only human. People are going to come in that aren't a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. When that happens, what we try to do is you can say, hey, we're going to give you a 90-day performance improvement plan. But the truth is what you're really doing to that person is saying, I'm not going to go let you find the place where you're really going to thrive for another 90 days, right? I'm going to have you here at a place you're obviously not thriving, and we're going to try to change your personality to fit. Because we already know we've brought in smart people, they can do the work. It's probably going to be something else that's driving us crazy. So for us, if it's truly a crap, we missed it with this person, there's two things we do. One, we are as open and direct as we can with them, and we say, we screwed this up, and we're going to let you go find the place where you're going to be great. We give them a pretty generous severance for two reasons. One, we obviously want them to think we're not jerks, right? So we give them a nice severance. But also to remind us, almost as a punishment, you screwed that up and you made a wrong decision. You stopped that person from finding what was going to be great for them. And you've now set us back 6 months or however long it takes to replace that person. I like both of those ways of going about taking the people who aren't working out, setting them on a path to where they can be great, and also kind of inflicting a little self-punishment to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it's great accountability. It seems like it would hold you to it. So how much effort, you kind of talked about when you got to that point of saying, okay, it's 90 days or out, but what are kind of your development steps that you try to take with any hire to make sure that they do thrive?
It's been changing a lot. So we kind of went online with real customers in 2010, so we're only 5 years old. But over that time, one thing I love about Precision Lender is we can look back 6 months or a year and think, boy, we were morons 6 months ago. We're so much smarter now. And that happens all the time. So our onboarding process is now about a month-long boot camp. And when you come in, you learn your department stuff in a couple of weeks, but you also learn about the entire company in that time so that you can say, oh, I need such and such. I need to go talk to Joe. You know, you kind of know where everything is. And over that month, we also want you to feel like I'm plugged into exactly where I need to be to make the greatest impact. So when I started there, I am now in my fourth job because I'm very difficult to put into a box. And there's a lot of people like that, that kind of tip over into something that was close to what they were brought in for, but we know they're going to be better, you know, 10 degrees left. So that's how we try to deal with it anyway.
That's strong management. I mean, it seems like it would develop employees well. So, but if you're taking that step back and then you're saying, okay, let's find those people first. We talked earlier with Warren about how company culture drives that. Do you do the same thing? What is the company culture that you sell to your prospective employees?
So when we are up against other companies like Warren's and all the other awesome startups that are out there doing great work and building an environment that is made to make their people thrive, the environment we're putting together is different. And that's one of our selling points. We were just at a career fair not too long ago, and people would say, we've got free beer Fridays and foosball and all the cool stuff that people love to have in their offices. And I get to get up third or fourth and say, we don't have any of that. What we give you is everybody gets their own office, and it's unlimited vacation because you're an adult and you should be able to make those decisions. So if you want to work from home one day, work from home. If you want to take 3 weeks in Iceland, fine, just make sure your work's done. Being able to say to people, we hire adults and give them as much freedom as they want to do great work, attracts kind of exact people that we're looking for. It's not going to attract a ton of kids right out of college because they're looking for something different. But a few years down the road, a lot of time, that's when those people come back to us and say, I thought I wanted this, but what I really want is to be trusted and given an opportunity to grow and thrive really where I'm planted.
So what's that outlook for Precision Lender? What do you see? What are your growth plans? What do you see the company going in the next 3-5 years?
So every year since 2010, we have doubled. We will double again this size. When I came on just over a year ago, I was about employee 22 or so, and we're at 50 now. I expect to be somewhere around 75 or 100 by the end of next year. Much like Warren, we are also expanding our office. We were in about 10,000 square feet, and we just pushed out a wall to take the other 10,000 square feet. And a lot of that is around having more customers. As more customers come in, you need a little more support and kind of people to handle the sales funnel and all that. Our development team is only about 16 or 18 people right now. It's super tight, only a few teams, and that will probably grow as we start to bring on bigger clients in the future.
So if people want to learn more about Precision Lender, the jobs there, everything like that, where do they go?
Yep, Precision Lender /careers is where our jobs are right now. We have 16 positions that we're trying to fill right now. A lot of those are duplicates because we have an office in Charlotte and in Cary, so we don't really care which one you work at. But everything from marketing to software to jobs that we look for, as we like to call them, recovering bankers to fill, that can speak directly to bankers. So
that's great. Well, looking forward to hearing more about Precision Lender too. Thanks again for joining us. I'm actually going to pull you both in. I know I told you again, I'd stay on script, but since you both participated in our job fair on October 8th at the McKinnon Center and both were able to see that, I just wanted to kind of get both your opinions on the environment there, how it compared to others and what worked well. So first off, are job fairs kind of your traditional pool for finding talent? Morton, is that normally how you go after them, or do you find them other means?
Traditionally, what we've been successful at is online recruiting and stuff, but job fairs are a big part of what we do. That was the first job fair I've been to that wasn't like a college job fair,
okay,
which gave us a really unique perspective on what's going on up here in Raleigh as far as, you know, more senior level guys looking for other positions or guys that have been in the industry for 2 to 3 years, which is another thing we're really looking for. So that was great.
Phil, normal, same thing. I mean, do you normally rely on online recruiting or do you like to go out and meet those people first at job fairs, that type of thing? What are the resources that you like to use more?
I will choose D, all of the above, which is we go to the job fair for two different reasons. Mm-hmm. One is hopefully to find somebody great. But the other is to get our name out. We are not, you know, Citrix or IBM or any of those big players that people know. Mm-hmm. So I love when people say, what do you guys do, right? Because what that really means is here's an opportunity to tell our story. So I find that the job fairs are great. to tell our story so that I find that the people we talk to might not be perfect, but they almost always know somebody else who they say, you should talk to Mary about that. She would be great. And the other big platform that I use is I try to connect with as many people as I can and lure people away from existing jobs that they're in. Because the truth is, the best players out there are usually already employed because they're just
absolutely
that good.
Yeah.
So
how would you say it compared to the job fairs you normally do? Are most of your job fairs here in the state that you attend?
Yeah.
How did you think it compared to some of the other ones, just as far as feel or size or any of those things?
I think it's always a little bit of a crapshoot, depending on time of day and what else is going on and all that stuff. I liked this one that there was some room. I didn't feel like I was one of 300 stuck in the room. So even if there was two or three people at the table, there was time to talk through what they were looking for and what we were looking for. And I agree that it wasn't just students, so it was nice to talk to people who had some experience. And could bring something different to the table for us.
Yeah, Warren, you said you normally go to job fairs with universities, or at least with college students primarily. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, with universities. Yeah, with us being in Greenville, you know, East Carolina next door, so we're always talking to some Pirates. Yeah.
did that help though? I mean, was it more beneficial to talk to experienced workers, whether they were looking or not, on some of the skill sets you were looking for?
Yeah, so we're looking to hire people at all ends of the spectrum. So, you know, we do want those new guys that can come in and, you know, grow with the company. But, you know, we also need some senior level guys because we're a young company ourselves. And it's a good opportunity for someone who's maybe worked somewhere for 5 or 6 years to say, hey, you know, come join our team. You can go ahead and here's 4 or 5 guys you can lead right off the bat. You know, not many companies can say that. So, yeah, again, that senior level position guy that's walking around your career fair is, you know, something we need also.
Phil, you kind of talked about the success or just having visibility as a hirer is a benefit. But if you were trying to rate what is success at a job fair, so what was that for you? I mean, when you walk away from one and you say we've met this many people or we hired this many, I mean, how would you gauge that?
For me, success at a job fair is one person walking away thinking, that's a great company. Either I'm going to apply or I'm going to tell my friends about it or something like that. So for me, it's almost a branding exercise. We know that we have to meet 1,000 people before one is going to convert into an employee. And that's okay because hopefully the other 999 thought we were a great company.
It's the marketer in you.
Yeah.
Warren, did you hire anybody? Was there any success stories? I mean, that's one thing we always like to hear about a job fair is, yeah, we found one person or somebody did walk away with that positive experience.
So we have a little lengthy process on like how we bring somebody on. It's not anyone and everyone. We actually have a test-based hiring process where you come in and, you know, actually try to figure out some of our programming tests and then we grade you based that. So there isn't anyone that's at the end of that stage right now where I could say, yeah, someone's definitely has a job. But we did get a couple resumes that looked good that, you know, we definitely started down the path to bring them on.
Good. Well, thank you again for your time, guys. I appreciate you going off script again a little bit and just talking about the job fair as well. Really looking forward to hearing more about both of your companies in the future. So that wraps everything up. Before we sign off, just want to tell you about a couple of events that we're wrapping up the year with. As you've seen or will see, our early bird period for the NC Tech Awards closed last week. There are still tickets available as well as a few sponsorship opportunities. You can visit nctechawards.com for more information or just give me a call directly. I'll be happy to talk to you about that. We're also moving into the developmental period of our second version of the State of Technology Industry Report. We're looking for a couple core group of supporters for this initiative as well. It has great opportunity to align your company with the state's tech sector report, and it's distributed to our entire membership, legislators, and the general business community. So it's a great opportunity to get your company's brand out there if you're interested in learning more about that. Finally, we have 2 Emerging Tech and Trends meetings coming up. The first one's going to be this Friday in the Triad on October 30th. And the second one's going to be in Charlotte. We're moving the date right now, but you can expect it to be coming in mid-November. And we'll have those announcements coming soon. So we hope you'll be able to join us for that. Again, that wraps us up. We will have our podcast available on our website, so visit nctechnology.org for this and future events and engagements. Follow us on Twitter at NCTA. Look for our company on LinkedIn. And our next show is going to be on November 16th, so we hope to see you again. Again, Warren Allen with Grover Gaming, Phil Buckley with Precision Lender. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you on our next show. Thank you.